بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصينا ماءه العادون ولا يعد حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بغض الحمام ولا يناله بغض الفتن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا ناد موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا عجل ممدود فتلا الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته. اللهم في صلة صلواتك وسلامة تسليماتك على عبر التعينات المفاضة من العماء الرباني وآخر التنازلات المضافة إلى نوع الإنساني كان الله ولم يكن ماءه شيء ثاني مكسي لعوالم حضرات الخاص في وجوده وكل شيء أحسيناه في إمام المبين الرسول النبي المكي الخرشي المدني التحامي صاحب لقاء العام ومقام المحمود عبد الخاص محمد الحميد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى عطيه وابن عمه وسهره وخليفته من بعده وقائد الغر المحجلين يا صب الدين إمام المتقين أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد عجل.
وعلى ابنته الطاهرة الحوراء العنسية الراضية المنقية الشفية يوم الجزاء فاطمة الزهراء سلام الله عليها.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى سيدي رحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين. اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد وحسن بن علي وحجة القائم المنتظر المهدي. اللهم صل على
محمد
حجتك على عبادك وعملائك في بلادك. اللهم سحل منهجه وعجل في فرجهم وجعلنا من محبيهم ومواليهم وشيتهم ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يوم هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of Allah, the most beneficent and most merciful. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has granted us this tawfiq that we are commemorating the Arba'een of Sayyid al-Shuhada, and tonight happens to be the night of the Arba'een. Let me begin my topic of discussion by reciting the verses of Holy Quran in whose context I am going to be saying tonight and the following night, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Furqan, verse 21 to 25, قال الذين لا يرجون لقاءنا لولا أنزل علينا الملائكة أو نرى ربنا لقد استكبروا في أنفسهم وعتوا عتوا كبيرا. Those who do not expect to encounter us say, why have angels not been sent unto us? Or why do we not see our Lord? Certainly they are full of arrogance within their souls and have become terribly defiant. يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ الْمَلَائِكَ لَا بُشْرَى يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ وَيَقُولُونَ حِجْرًا مَحْجُورًا. The day when they see the angels, there will be no good news for the guilty that day. And they will say, keep off from paradise.
وَخَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْصُورًا.
Then we shall attend to the words they
have done and then turn them into scattered dust. And then Ashabul Jannati yawma'idhin khayrun mustaqarran wa ahsanu maqila.
On that day, the inhabitants of paradise will be in the best abode and an excellent resting place. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Since yesterday, the topic of discussion that we have started deals with our connection with Allah. Why is it that our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is weak? And I began my discussion narrating to you a hadith from Sayyid al-Shuhada, Imam Hussain alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
That the Imam was talking about those people who were his followers, those people who claimed to have done bay'ah on him when Farazdaq was returning from Kufa, and Imam was heading towards Kufa after he had left Makkah. And Farazdaq says that when the Imam inquires the situation of people there, Farazdaq says that, "O Imam, their hearts, the people of Kufa, their hearts are with you, but their souls are with Bani Umayyah." Upon which the Imam says that indeed, indeed people are abidud dunya, they are the slaves and the servants of this world. And then the Imam continues and he says that as their deen, deenuhum ala al-sinatihim, their religion is only lip service. إِنَّ النَّاسَ عَبِيدُ الدُّنْيَا دِينُهُمْ لَغْوٌ عَلَىٰ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Their deen is mere talk that is said from their tongues, from their speech. And then the Imam continues and says, when they are in comfort, when their life is at ease, then the deen is there. وَإِذَا مُحِسُّوا بِالْبَلَىٰ, the moment they are confronted with calamities, they are confronted with hardships, خَلَّا دَيَّانُونَ, then you will only find very few who are going to withstand the hardships and the calamities of time. My dear brothers and sisters, was not only the case with people who were عَبِيدُ الدُّنْيَا at that time, the slaves of this world. Even our situation is quite similar. The moment we are confronted with hardships in the life of this world, we panic, we chicken out, we leave the front and take refuge in becoming the slaves of this world. If that is not the case, we would withstand the hardships and the calamities of time and endure the hardships for the sake of Allah, for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not pleasing this dunya. Now this is the slavery of this world itself is the biggest obstacle that comes between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm talking about those people who have accepted faith. I'm talking about those people who call themselves Muslims. I'm talking about those people who have established salat, who have established prayers. I'm talking about those people who have performed hajj. These are the people the Imam is saying that they are the slaves of dunya. We are not talking about kuffar. We are not talking about mushrikeen. We are not talking about polytheists. We are not talking about disbelievers. We are talking about those who claim themselves to be mu'min. Now we need to ensure that we do not belong to that category
to whom the Imam is addressing. If we could take ourselves away from the ubudiyah, from the servitude of this dunya, then surely we are going to get closer to Allah. And if that is not the case, then obviously this is only and only a mere lip service that we are making to ourselves. Not only that we are deceiving others, but the biggest person who is being deceived is none other than ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves. We are deviating ourselves, and we are giving this deception to ourselves, thinking that we are on the path of Sirat-e-Mustaqim. We are on the path of righteousness. This is the biggest obstacle. When Shaitan sees that he cannot deceive those who have professed faith, those who have said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
and they are not being attracted to the mere glamour of the life of this world in the form of apparent sins. Sins that are apparent, they are in zahir, they are, when you look at them, you find that to be a sin. That is the time Shaitan comes from a different direction. And that direction, or that guard that the Shaitan makes us wear, is called Muqaddas Ma'abid. Shaitan makes you feel that you have attained a state in which you have been selected, you have been chosen, Allah has divinely guided you, and now you have the right to impose your will, to impose your ideology, to impose your ideas upon others. The moment those people do not accept those ideas, what do? You immediately proclaim them to be kafir. You proclaim them to be munafiq. You proclaim them to be mischief mongers. You proclaim them and give them every name to distance yourself, meaning you are not distancing them from you, but as if you are distancing them from Islam. They do not belong to Islam. Isn't this not the case, my dear brothers and sisters? This is the problem in every community, especially in this part of the world. People are working so hard, trying to make a living, striving and trying to live with honor and dignity. And when they come, when they congregate, one of the biggest fitna that is seen all over the United States is this. And this comes, this stems from this ubudiyah of this dunya. The verses of Holy Quran that I have shared with you are also in the same light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, خَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاعَنَا, those who do not expect to encounter us, those who do not expect to see us on the day of judgment, لِقَاعَنَا, what do they say? They say, لَوْلَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْنَا الْمَلَائِكَ, why do not angels descend upon us? أَوْ نَرَى رَبَّنَا, why don't we see our Lord? Why don't we see Allah ourselves? And then Allah says, indeed, لَقَدْ اسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, indeed, they have been arrogant in their own right, upon their own selves, within their own souls. This demand to ask the Holy Prophet, if you are the Prophet of Allah and the angels descend upon you, why can't I see the angels? If you say that the divine messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to you, why can't I see Allah myself? Why is it only you who can see? Why can't I see? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَخَدْ اسْتَكْبَرُوا, indeed, they are arrogant. These people are arrogant. فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, in their own souls. They think that they deserve because of their position, because of the power, because of the wealth, because of the progeny they belong to, the tribe they belong to, the category of people they belong to, they feel that they should have also seen what Rasulullah had seen. And now because they do not see that, they are sarcastically saying, why only the angels descend upon you? Why only you are the one who can see your Lord? And why not us? Allah is saying, this demand in them is coming from their arrogance that they have within their own souls. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing them. If this is the case, Allah says in Quran, يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ الْمَلَائِكَ لَا بُشْرَ يَوْمَ عِذٍ لِلْمُجْرَمِينَ. The day they are going to see angels, there will not be any good news brought by the malaika, by the angels, to this mujrameen, to these people, to these arrogant people, whom Allah is calling them mujrameen, who are mujrim, who are defiant. And then Allah says that they are not going to be, these are the ones who are guilty, and they will not be given any good news. In fact, they will be, the malaika are going to tell them, keep away from paradise. Keep away from paradise. So they are definitely going to see malaika. Who? Mujrimeen, the one who are guilty, those people who were arrogant in the life of this world would eventually confront and see malaika, angels, as per Quran. But Allah is saying when they would see malaika and angels, that time the angels will not be bringing good news to them. They would be telling them, keep off from paradise. And the verses further go and they say, خَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْسُورًا. Then we shall attend to the works they have done and then turn them into scattered dust. خَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا. We are going to take account of what they have done, their amal. And here what is meant is, those people who are arrogant, they have done good deeds, and their good deeds are going to be evaluated by Allah. And then Allah is saying, I'm going to scatter all their good deeds as if dust is scattered. Meaning that their good actions will be thrown away as dust is scattered in the land. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you have arrogance, if arrogance would not lead you by default, even if you possess good actions, towards Jannah. Jannah demands submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannah demands submission to the Prophet of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Prophet of Allah in Quran, words of Quran, Allah says in Quran, O Prophet, tell them, خُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. If you really love Allah, tell these people that they become obedient to you, O Prophet. If somebody claims, no, I love Allah, I have love for the humanity, my heart is full of love for everybody, and everybody is going to go to Jannah, everybody is going to go to paradise, this human race is all good, whether you follow Islam or you follow some other religion or you follow some other path or you don't follow any path, you just be a good human being, everybody is going to go to heaven. Allah says that's not going to happen according to the words of the Holy Quran. The only religion that is accepted near Allah is Islam. This sort of pluralism in our secular world, this term is called secular pluralism, religious pluralism. Is religious pluralism tolerated in this way? No, it's not acceptable. There is another form of religious pluralism that is acceptable, but this form of religious pluralism saying whether you follow some path, whether you follow the path that the Prophet of Allah had brought, everybody is going to go to heaven, it's not going to happen. Allah had chosen Islam to be the ultimate message for humanity till the day of judgment. Quran to be the last book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is going to be the means and the mizan and the criteria with which humanity is going to be judged. If we were born during the times of the prophets of the past and we died in their time, then of course that is the hujjah, that is the ultimate testimony for those people, but not for us. So this is what Allah is saying. And then finally Allah says, أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَيْرٌ مُسْتَخَرًّا وَأَحْسَنُ مَقِيلًا. On that day the inhabitants of paradise will be in the best abode and an excellent resting place. Please have a salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
My dear brothers and sisters, if we look into these verses of the Quran, we find that those who are arrogant, are thinking that they have all that it takes to know whether Malaika, whether the angels are being descended, they are being sent upon the Holy Prophet, or they have the ma'arif. They lack knowledge. And we all know, as human beings, humanity is confronted with information, and this is the age we call information age. There is trillions and trillions, of bytes of data that's available. Now they are saying that even if you write something on the internet and go and 100 years even pass, what you have written is going to be there in some hard drive, in some, you know, data center which has millions of, you know, hard drives sitting there collecting data. So there is so much knowledge out there. When we as human beings, when we grow, when we become younger, we have to pick and choose what we want to know. We cannot know everything. There was a time in human race when a person who used to be a doctor, the same person used to be an engineer, the same person used to be an architect, the same person used to be everything. Hakim, you know, and this Hakim would be, so the knowledge was very little and it was possible. The more we started, you know, discovering what Allah has kept for us just in the life of this world, we realize that there is an ocean of knowledge. And we are like an atom into that ocean of knowledge. If somebody gets into specialization in medicine, for example, I was amazed to see there are dentistry in teeth. I was told there are specialists just for one special teeth. To all of us, teeth are teeth, they look same, but there is speciality even in that field. So, knowledge, we lack knowledge. Here Allah is saying, you do not know, but what I have sent you in the form of a messenger, I have sent him as a guide to you. And if you accept, if you find him truthful, if you find him Amin, if you find him that he is not going to lie to you, then accept what he is. He has brought, and I have sent with him a miracle. And after knowing all that, if you still continue to argue, that means it is only your arrogance that is leading you towards denial of the prophethood of Rasulullah. Otherwise, you would not have done it. The Prophet, if you believe, Quran says in another verse of Holy Quran, O Prophet, these people of the book, they know you as they know their own children, and yet they deny you. Meaning, how do we know our children? We know in and out of our children. We know their behavior, we know their likes, we know their dislikes, and yet they are denying because of that istighbar, because of that arrogance that they have. Why is it that he, an orphan, becomes a prophet? Why not me? Why can't I be? My dear and sisters, so this demand, their demand is unreasonable near Allah, because this demand stems from arrogance. But if this demand is not coming from arrogance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown in Quran that how He has honored those who deserved the station where they could see malaika, where they could see angels, and where they could meet and they could encounter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for that, you need to deserve first. If somebody says, just because I was born here in United States, I should be made a president of the United States, people would laugh at that person. Why? Because yes, you are born, you have a right to become a president, but you need to go through a process. And when you go through a process, and you attain, first you attain credibility in society, that people would trust you. The moment people would trust you, they are going to definitely vote for you. And when they are going to vote for you, you will get into Senate, or for that matter, you don't even have to get into Senate. If you build enough trust and credibility, and the whole nation stands behind you and vouch for you that you are going to lead us towards prosperity, then you become the President of the United States. You just don't become a President of the United States by being born in the United States. So if you want to become one of those friends of Allah, awliya Allah, or if you want to deserve to be a prophet, your actions first should come from such a state that you deserve that. If you have cleansed yourself, if you have purified your soul, if you have kept yourself away from sinning, if you have kept yourself in the direction in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be, then obviously there will be a stage, there will be a state where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reveal the tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the self-disclosure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be seen by you. Malaika would come to you, angels would come to you, and they will reach out to you. But you have to deserve that. If you don't deserve it, obviously you're not going to have it. Let me give you an example from our own time. Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayhi, one of the greatest scholars of our time, who has written tafsir of Al-Mizan, his student Allama Tehrani mentions in his book Mehr-e-Taban how Allama Tabatabai had seen an angel. An angel descended upon him, and he finds, in fact, that angel coming from his right, and then the Allama looks at the angel and he's very pleased that he is seeing an angel. But immediately Allama is reminded of what his teacher had said, that when you are engaged in zikr of Allah, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ensure that nothing distracts you, even if that's an angel. And Allama turns his face from that angel. And the angel comes from the left, And Allama does the same thing. And the angel leaves with disappointment because Allama Tabatabai was not willing to accept anything short of Allah Himself. We need to have higher aspirations, my dear brothers and sisters. We teach our children that you should become, you know, very selected few people in this nation by excelling in your education. You should, if you become a doctor, you should become the best doctor. If you become an engineer, you should become the best engineer out there. But when we talk about Islam, we run away with the bare minimum. If we could just do this, what is the minimum that is required to do? We do it and we leave. We are not aspiring to get closer to Allah. We are not aspiring by looking into the lives of our imams, becoming like them. We might not become like them, but can't we become like Hud? Can't we become like Abu Zar? Can't we become like Ammar? Of course we can. If Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, ajjal farajah,
could train companions such as Salman, Abu Zar, Miqdad. If Sayyid al-Shuhada could bring Hur on the day of Ashura in his camp, where he says that my companions, Allah had not given companions like mine even to my father nor to my grandfather, then does our Imam, the Imam of our time, cannot make us like those people who are Abu Zar and Miqdad and Hur? Why not? But we have ourselves chosen to be with the less. We have ourselves chosen to be the slaves of this dunya. We have ourselves chosen and selected ourselves. We have discredited ourselves. When we look up into this dunya, we are trying and aspiring for higher goals. But when we look into our spiritual state, even those of us who are on the path of Allah by following Islam would want to run away with a minimum, want to run away with the basics. And therefore we cannot see. But those who have striven and those who have strived in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah shows them the hereafter, the divine heavens in this world. But we have to strive. If we don't strive, obviously this world would look like everything to us. Only we would realize when sakarat of maut comes, when the delusionary state of the end comes. And even then, there are ulama who say, if a person always had himself completely attached to this world, even those last moments where he starts seeing heavens, when the reality starts unveiling to him, when he sees the reality, that is not going to change him. In fact, that is going to make him a kafir. That is going to make him a disbeliever in the last moments. Why? Because his attachment to this world was so intense that when he realizes, when he sees the hijab or the hujub that were there, they are being unveiled, and he could see the reality around him, and he realizes that he is dying, he realizes that he is being separated from his beloved, which is dunya, by no one but Allah Himself, he becomes angry at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he becomes kafir in that state, that you are separating me from my beloved, which is this dunya, and what I have collected from this dunya. As a result of this, person would die as a kafir. My dear brothers and sisters, that's why we need to strive. Sayyid al-Shuhada had clearly mentioned why he is rising up against Bani Umayyah. He said, for reforming the Ummah of my father and my grandfather, so that I could re-establish the seerah of my father and my grandfather. If the seerah of Rasulullah and if the seerah of Amirul Mu'mineen is not established in our lives, then we have truly failed in being the Shia of Haydar Karbala. We have truly failed in being the muhib and the followers of Sayyid al-Shuhada. My dear brothers and sisters, Arbaeen of Imam Hussein is around the corner. In fact, tonight is the night of Arbaeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept benefits and sawab in many acts of worship, and they differ from time and place. When we stand up for prayer on a regular day, we find ourselves praying. We see that while we are in the state of prayer, and if we are to die in the state of praying, nobody would doubt, but know that this person has died as a shaheed, because he was standing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he was killed. For example, we find, unfortunately right now, in Muslim countries, how Shias are being targeted, as the brother had already mentioned. And this is a very systematic approach of kuffar and mushrikeen. They want to divide the Ummah of Rasulullah such that they could control them. And this has been done very successfully in Iraq, and it is going to happen in Syria. We all know that. But we need to know how to be on the path of Ahlul Bayt. Now the second point, when we are in the state of Salah, we find ourselves that Allah is blessing us with great blessings while we are standing up for Salah. If we are here, the sawab is different than if we are in a masjid. A masjid which is closer to the masjid of Rasulullah. But if we are in the masjid of Rasulullah, then there is a sawab, special sawab in Masjid Nabawi. If you are praying the same salat, the sawab is going to multiply many folds. Now if we are in the outskirts of Khanah Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Hijaz, then the sawab is different. Many folds it's going to increase. But if we are standing right in front of Kaaba, the house of Allah, then the sawab is going to be exponential. So we find as the place keeps changing, the sawab is added up. Now we find that Allah gives sawab in different place. The sawab for the same act of worship is many folds. Now let us see the sawab in time. This was for place. Now for time. We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while we are praying during the time of fazilat, when we are praying our salat during the time of fazilat, then the sawab is more compared to the salat that is going to be prayed later on. So at different times we find the sawab is different. Now let us take the example more further down by seeing that if we are in the holy month of Ramadan. Now in the holy month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not only your salat I'm going to accept, but even your sleeping in the state of fasting is going to be sawab. Allah is going to reward us even for sleeping in the holy month of Ramadan. So even the time, every minute and every second while we are in the state of fasting in the holy month of Ramadan, Allah is going to add us reward. So during time also, with different times, the sawab is multiplied. My dear brothers and sisters, The reason I mention this to you is to remind you that we are in the night of Arba'een. In the night of Arba'een, we are commemorating the martyrdom of Sayyid al-Shuhada, Imam Hussain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept innumerable, uncountable sawab and reward for us to remember Imam Hussain tonight and especially tomorrow. And if we seek from Allah in this time, our du'as and our prayers are not going to be rejected. But unfortunately, what we ask most of the time is only about this dunya. All we are concerned is whether we have a job, whether we have a home, whether our children can go to best schools. I am not saying we should not seek all these. I am saying we should go, you know, shoot for higher goals. We should shoot for higher aspirations. Why are we in such a deep, eroded spiritual state? Why is it not that we can see and we can comprehend and we can have the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said that I have not created jinn and ins but for my worship. فَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created mankind and jinn but for my worship. And from Ibn Abbas, the closest mufassir, who narrates from Amir al-Mu'mineen, says here the meaning that worshipping Ya'budun actually means Ya'rifun, to have the ma'rifah, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much do we know? How much faith do we have? How much reliance and tawakkul we have upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We think we are the makers of our destiny. We do not think Allah is the maker of our destiny. It is not that we should sit in our homes thinking Allah is the maker of our destiny. But eventually everything resides in His control. And His lutf, His grace, if the grace of Allah is not with us, then our actions are not going to take us to those aspirations. Therefore we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this night to bless us with that spiritual maqam, with that spiritual state where we can rise above our petty needs of the life of this world. I am not saying that those needs should not be fulfilled. I am saying that we should seek higher aspirations. We should have higher aspirations that Allah gives the ma'rifah of Himself. But even before that, He gives us the true ma'rifah of Ahlul Bayt. He gives us the true ma'rifah of our Imams. He gives us the true ma'rifah of Sayyid al-Shuhada. If we do not have the true ma'rifah of Sayyid al-Shuhada, then we would consider Him to be just like us. Meaning that He and us are not different. When that is not the case, my dear brothers and sisters, these are Ahlul Bayt. These are the souls whom Allah had created first. These are the souls who were in heavens doing tasbih and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before this world was created. Allah only out of His grace had descended them into the form of human beings so that we could be guided, so that we could get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise it would have gone against Allah and the justice of Allah that He has created mankind but He has not given those role models through which mankind could be inspired so that it could go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These role models had to be ma'asoom. These role models had to be infallible. But not infallible in the sense of malaika, not in the sense of angels, but infallible in another sense. My dear brothers and sisters, after having these great guides in our lives, in the form of Azadari of
especially in the Shuhada, after hearing again and again the sacrifice of Imam Hussein and the sacrifice of Ahl al-Bayt and the sacrifice of the children of Ahl al-Bayt, if we are not inspired to work in the direction of Islam, if we are not inspired to follow the teachings and the rulings of Islam, then we have truly failed in being the Muhib and Shia of Ahl al-Bayt. But tonight I want you, my dear brothers and sisters, that you recall, because Islam has not come to us for free. It did not come cheap. Ahl al-Bayt had to pay the price for bringing Islam all the way up to us. And how did Ahl al-Bayt pay their price? The Prophet of Allah, when he passed away, what do we hear? The daughter of the Holy Prophet saying, it is the same daughter when the Prophet of Allah would see his daughter arriving, he would rise up in respect of Zahra salamullahi alayha. And what Hazrat Zahra says, within 90 days, Hazrat Zahra passes away and she was martyred, and Hazrat Zahra is found to be saying, Oh Father, after you, the days have become as if the hardships and the calamities of the time had been so intense, as if it would have fallen upon the bright days. The bright days would have turned into dark nights. And who was doing this? Who was bringing this calamities upon the house of Ahl al-Bayt? It was the same Muslim Ummah who had seen the Prophet of Allah saying, As-salamu alaykum Ahl al-Bayt al-Nubuwa, saying these salams at the door of Zahra salamullahi alayha. And yet, the day the Prophet of Allah passes away, the same Ummah had started this bogus, this hatred for Ahl al-Bayt. And why was this hatred? This hatred was only to ensure that those opportunist munafiqeen that who had infiltrated the ranks of Islam only to serve their own interest and to serve the purpose of being the slaves of this dunya, their goals and their aspirations are attained, not the true aspirations of the pure Islam in Alam. And that's why Islam did not come to us cheap, my dear brothers and sisters. We find Muslims coming to the door, upon the door, that door which the Prophet of Allah had said his salams, putting fire on that door and kicking the door, and as a result of which we find that the daughter of the Holy Prophet was martyred from the injury that was caused to her. Islam did not come cheap to us, my dear brothers and sisters. And then we find that Amirul Mu'mineen, who became the Khalifa, who came to re-establish the path of righteousness, the path of Haqq, was martyred in the way of Allah. What do we find? Do we find Amirul Mu'mineen complaining for the calamities that had come upon him? No, we find Amirul Mu'mineen saying, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba, I swear by the Lord of Kaaba that I have become successful today. We find Amirul Mu'mineen, after losing his life for the sake of Islam, declaring his success, because his success was the success of Islam. Then we find Hassan al-Mujtaba. How did Hassan al-Mujtaba endure the hardships of the time that he was given poison from none but of his own? And Hassan al-Mujtaba is leaving this world, and Imam Hussein approaches him. And when Imam Hussein comes to Hassan al-Mujtaba, and Imam Hussein starts crying upon Hassan al-Mujtaba, what do we find? We find that Imam Hassan is saying, Oh my dear brother, oh my beloved Hussein, do not cry, do not cry. Oh Ya Aba Abdullah, la yawmaka yawma Ya Aba Abdullah. Oh Hussein, your day is the greatest day. My day is not that day. Ashura. Imam Hussein had come on the day of Ashura. Imam Hussein was not aspiring to become a ruler, to rule the Ummah of Rasulullah. And therefore, he had come with his children and with his family. And Imam Hussein came and he said, I am doing the Hujjah. And the army of Yazid said, we know you are the grandson of the Holy Prophet. Imam Hussein says, don't you know who I am son of? They say, no, we know you are the son of the only daughter of the Holy Prophet. We know your father is Amir al-Mu'mineen. And yet we want to kill you. And yet we want to finish you. And yet we want to slaughter you. My dear brothers and sisters, this was heard by the army of Yazid when Imam Hussein had said time and time again, reminded them time and time again that he is the only one who is called, he is from the Ashab-e Kisa. Those were the five ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said that purity, they are pure and impurity can never reach them in Quran. And yet they attacked Hussein. As the day of Ashura passes away, that time also comes when Yazid has mounted, when Shimr has mounted upon the chest of Sayyid al-Shuhada, upon Imam Hussein, and he is trying to sever his head and to cut the head of Imam Hussein. Even the riwaya says, Imam Hussein recalls Shimr and asks him, oh Shimr, do you know who I am? And Shimr says, yes, I know who you are. You are the best of creation. And your father was the best of your creation. Your grandfather was the best of your creation. Your mother was the best of creation. And yet I want to cut off your head. Shimr had not only testified Hussein who Hussein was, but Shimr had testified that Hussein belongs to Ahlul Bayt. So was the case of Umar ibn Sa'd. So was the case of Sinan ibn Anas. And all those mala'een who were there on the day of Ashura to slaughter the family of Holy Prophet. But the cause of Hussein did not end there. The cause for which Hussein had stood up did not end there. Hussein had given the alam, the standard of Islam, into the hands of Zainab. Zainab took over. Imam Sajjad is there, but Zainab was the one who was protecting the wilaya of Ahlul Bayt by protecting Imam Sajjad. Every time Shimr or Umar ibn Sa'd or Harmala, whoever attempted to kill Sayyid Sajjad, to finish Imama from the face of earth, it was Zainab who came forward to protect the Imama and the wilaya of Ahlul Bayt. Not only Zainab, my dear brothers and sisters, it was the four-year-old daughter of Imam Hussein, Sukaina or Ruqayya, who was always there. When Zainab could not speak, it was Sukaina who would speak on behalf of Ahlul Bayt to show the people of Kufa and to show the people of Sham that we are Ahlul Bayt, we are from the family of the Holy Prophet, and we were mistreated, and our father and our brothers were killed mercilessly without water on the plains of Karbala. Therefore we find, my dear brother and sister, when the Ahlul Bayt were taken from Kufa to Sham, and in Sham they were imprisoned, and they were imprisoned there for many, many days, but Yazid could not sleep any night, because every night Rasulullah would come into the dream of Yazid and remind Yazid, oh Yazid, don't you know whom you have made captives, whom you have imprisoned? They are my family, they are my Ahlul Bayt. And Yazid was Finally, Yazid was willing to free Ahlul Bayt. But what happened? Yazid wanted to free Ahlul Bayt. But before that, my dear brothers and sisters, let me remind you, there was this daughter of Imam Hussein who was always looking forward to go back to her home in Medina. That is why she would ask her Aunt Zainab every evening when she would find the birds flying over the prison. She would see outside and ask her aunt, "Oh my dear aunt, where are these birds going?" And Zainab would remind her every day, "Oh Sakina, these birds